they just don't know.
What I told you, Cutter.
People seen it, but they just don't know. People seen it, but they just don't know.
Let's go.
Here we are. Welcome to the show, everyone. And hello, Mariam Tazi.
Hey, Malcolm Riddle.
Look at that. Unbelievable.
I got it this time.
Yeah. A little uncomfortable the way you said it, though. It's all right.
I almost burped at the same time.
Burp? What the heck is going on here, folks?
I just had a sip of water before we got on the air.
Well, here we are. Welcome to another show of American Riddle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome and yourself.
Well, I was actually talking to the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't. Well, welcome, Mariam.
Thanks.
I appreciate you sitting down with us. Me? Yes. Yes, y'all. And, well, anyway, what did I do? Let me get right to it. I had some feedback recently. Good feedback about you. A couple of people said that they liked you on the show, and you have a lot of people call it a radio.
Who, me?
Radio show, radio program, yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, good show.
It's talk. People still think of it as talk radio instead of a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm finding out a couple things, because they'll say, oh, yeah, yeah, Mariam's nice. She has a nice radio voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're kind of like...
Now I'm self-conscious.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, Mariam's always ready and down to do a podcast when it's like pulling teeth to get other people. Because a lot of people, one of the problems I've found out is that people are kind of scared to actually have their thoughts or their opinions recorded and broadcasted out.
It still makes me nervous.
Over the internet.
Yeah, of course. You know?
I mean,
I don't say very much. I mean,
yeah, but
like
even still, I mean,
to you too. But
pick and choose wisely. But even still, I don't know what's the worst that could happen.
I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
You don't get elected mayor.
Well, none of us are really going into politics.
Oh, no, the only mayor I'm going to be is Mayor McCheese. Terrible joke. She laughed.
I do. Maybe that's why it's good too. I'm nice. Yep. And laugh at your jokes.
That's probably why you're on the podcast. That's
great.
Probably it.
I'm only on it for laughing. Great. Okay.
But some of the people I've tried, like I've had conversations with a couple people trying to get them on the show, and they'll back out at the last minute.
That's too bad.
Yeah, and they get scared, because like when you say, yep, the mics and stuff, and I'm like, it's fun. I was like, the conversation.
Yeah, that's why I do it, because it's fun.
I'm like, the conversation we just had, I want to put that in the program.
Right.
Can we do it?
I say that
and then
all the time,
then
too,
they're
now.
Then they're like, you know.
God, I wish this was being recorded right now.
Yeah. And I listened to a couple other podcasts, and the way they have the same issues. Like, a lot of the higher-ups in the podcast world, like Rogan, and not so much Rogan pretty much runs things, but Greg Fitzsimmons is one. On FitzDog Radio, he has one on Sirius XM, and he does the podcast on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying, I guess someone who was he hired to produce the show moved on to Greener Pastures, and so needs someone because they would organize and call. And he's like, he hates
dealing
with
that.
Yeah,
just like you. You're like, I need somebody to
call. Excuse me, calling to line people up and stuff like that. I mean, I don't hate. I just don't like hounding people. I mean, I think it's in the works. I know I'm going to do a solo one and see how that goes. Because sometimes I could just be up, you know, messing around, and I just want to, like, just drop something for 40 minutes. I don't even know if I could go that long, though, by myself.
Well, you can stop and continue later, too. Just, like,
yeah. Conscious. I like to get it done, though.
Well,
I like to get her done. I like to get it done because, I mean, you know, what's the point? You know, the show goes on. I want it started and finished. And
that's fair. That's your style. That's
yeah.
cool.
But yeah, you're right. You could do it in segments.
Yeah, like your late night solo.
What?
Podcast. Your late night solo podcast.
Yeah, like the Quiet Storm. Think I could get my voice. Oh. Welcome to the Quiet Storm.
Ooh.
Well, and play some like smooth music. Some Barry White.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As long as...
Hello, everyone.
You don't end up doing this something else. Yeah.
This is Malcolm. It's not like I'm tired now. I'm sleepy.
Really loungy.
Welcome to the Quiet Storm. It's not like a creeper. God.
Well.
Yep, she didn't disagree. Jesus.
It's just not your usual voice.
No. I'm not going to change that up. But I am moving towards a more formatted, structured, and you know, I appreciate you guys, the listeners, listening, and the few, but it's a strong, focused few that are listening, that have been listening and submitting feedback, and sticking with the show. It's starting to evolve. Like I can see certain things start to evolve with, like I said, with the help with the Q&A. I've got a couple other things I'm brainstorming that we'll implement. And also the wine segments. I've got a lot of really good feedback on the wine podcast that we've posted.
A lot of knowledge was dropped.
A lot of science.
Mm-hmm.
Got another one coming up. I think this Friday I'm supposed to meet with the guys, Tony and Jeff again.
Nice.
And tackle some region or some wine or wines or who knows what they have planned.
Mm.
But we're going to do that. And then I've got a couple other people lined up too.
Cool.
From various backgrounds in that industry. But just trying to format it a couple few ways. Not where it's going to be a wine podcast, but maybe if I ever get to 2 days consistently, maybe one day will be dedicated to that and the other will be dedicated to foolishness. Nothing wrong with a little foolishness.
I mean, there's foolishness in the wine game too.
Yeah. So we'll see, though. I think more of a structure. One of the things I don't like, and we've done more than a couple of podcasts, and I think you've maybe sat in on when I have too many guests, and it's a lot of chatter and talking over and just chaos, and, you know.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I just think if I go down that road, it doesn't give the podcast any weight or any structure, and it's just, yeah. You know, right now I'm thinking of the integrity and building a brand, and I'll be the first to admit, I still haven't found my voice, whatever, you know, that says, but at some point you'll find, like, you know, what it is and what direction you want to go, and, you know, I know the basis, but still, you do need some format, some sort of structure.
Yeah.
And I don't mind just casual conversations too. When you have a conversation, if it goes an hour, fine. If it goes 2 hours, you know, that's fine too, as long as you know, you're having fun and it's of interest.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't want 2 hours of just shouting.
No.
That's not any fun for me. But that's where we're at. So that's what I'm at, people. You know, trying to make it happen. That's right. That's the way I do it.
That's good.
I think so. What else? I hung out with my mother today. Aww. We went on a little date, took her out to see The Butler.
And?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was nice to get her out. She was nice. I sent her a text message this morning, and she was like, oh, I'll get up. Let me wash my hair and do all this stuff. Like, you know, it's something to say because it's like a certain you people of a certain age, they write everything out in a text message, which is pretty impressive.
Different generations, you know, yeah. Of different ways.
So we went to go see The Butler, and that's directed by Lee Daniels.
Nice.
Starring Forrest Whitaker,
mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey, John Cusack, Jane Fonda. Wow. Yeah, you've got an all-star. Mariah Carey, Vanessa Redgrave.
A lot of people.
She was in MI1 with Tom Cruise, everyone. Clarence Williams. Yeah, you got everyone in this film. Yeah. Just a really remarkable fit. Terrence Howard. The list goes on. Cuba. Is it Cuba or Cuba?
Cuba.
Well, Cuba.
Yeah, I think it's Cuba.
Cuba Gooding Jr. And Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, yeah. Your boy.
Yeah. It's got everyone in it. They were shining, too. Let me tell you.
You have to with that kind of cast. You have a lot to live up to, you know?
Great film.
A lot of good people to work with.
Very well done film.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, very well
done. I saw the trailer. I was intrigued.
Mm. Very moving film.
Sure.
It's a film about a guy that... it's kind of deceiving in a way because the movie opens up and it appears to be a scene from slaves working in the cotton field. But it couldn't be the slaves because if he worked in those administrations, meaning Nixon, Ford, Carter, Eisenhower, I mean, he'd be old as dirt because I'm not sure which year slavery ended. But if he was a child, so I think it's just more they were of slave descent. Still working on a plantation and dealing with being black in America at that time. Mm. And it wasn't that long ago.
No.
You know?
No.
I'm watching the film and we're watching it and it's a testament to every one of those who participated in this film. I mean, everyone shines. It just brings out the best, but almost to the point where I'm looking at them like, these motherfuckers ain't acting. You know, they're being themselves. It's like you can, it's especially Oprah, you know, say what you want about Oprah Winfrey.
I love her.
She is, she is magical.
Yeah.
It is something to watch her at work because it's just natural, you know, to see her. In a blue collar role, and you know, just the way she talks when she's talking about cooking greens or okra, and the way she's like going in and just the mannerisms that she would do, it would just bring me home. Hmm. I know it touched my mom. I mean, she was crying more than a couple few times, which I had to hold back from crying because she was crying, fucking my day up.
Oh,
god damn,
that's everyone's really crying. Sweet.
Yeah, mm hmm. Okay. We went to the Alamo Draft House Cinema, which she loved that place. It's a great place to experience a film just because you don't have someone up on top of you, and it's impossible for anyone's foot
to get in your grill.
Yeah, to get up on the chair.
Yeah.
On top of that, they have a very, very strict rule of no talking, no texting, no coming. You can't even come late to an Alamo draft house. If you're late, you won't be
admitted.
You won't get admitted.
Hmm.
No,
you get shunned.
Yeah, and if you're talking and you hold up, you're supposed to hold up a white piece of paper if someone's talking, right? To alert the usher. The usher will come over, and if you do it again, if someone does it again, you'll be booted out.
Really?
Done. You're done. You're out. You're out.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that shit.
I didn't know that it went that far. I knew they have a big eat and drink and stuff.
They have a big preview where the owner from Texas, he comes in and he talks about it. He talks about the policy. It was the first time I seen that. Usually it's like a special made trailer that flashes and it's loud music and it's going on. No talking. You will get kicked out. You will not be refunded. But this time he had a message why he did that. And, and you know, how it's, you know, you're supposed to enjoy the experience and you should not be distracted.
It's true. And it's great I'm impressed.
So when you come to a movie, that's what you're doing. You're leaving the house.
Yeah.
You're putting forth an effort to have a time out.
Yep.
And enjoy, you know, the cinematic experience. And I applaud them and their effort. And not just their effort, but what they're doing in the film community.
I respect
yeah,
that.
I really like that. But back to the film. Like I said, the film itself, it just made me wonder. Well, it didn't even make me wonder. It made me remember a lot of stuff. You know, this guy is a butler. He worked on the plantation. His dad was murdered in front of him. His mom was raped by the plantation, the plantation owner, played by Mariah Carey, and she shined. Like she can carry a role. She didn't say anything.
No,
didn't say it. She maybe had like two or three words, but the emotion on her face, you know, the emotion of being raped. The emotion of just being violated, and then having to look at your husband, having to look at your child. Mm. You could see it in her face, you know. And she's a little off anyway. I think she had a couple bouts.
Yeah,
a couple bouts. But don't underestimate her. A lot of people underestimate her. I've heard a couple few things in the streets,
I don't know.
She's come a long way.
I gotta see it. I don't know. I'm surprised to hear that, actually.
What, she's good?
That she was good in this. But she also had, like, she had a lot to, she had good actors around, she had good people around her to, you know.
Yeah, but help. keep in mind, she's not in the movie for 20 minutes or anything, you know.
She's in it just for.
She's in it in a blink of an eye, but okay. It's like, all right, you know.
Okay.
So she's,
it's a powerful blink of an eye.
She's got chops. She can do it. I bet you she, well, I mean, like I said, they kept her silent, so I don't know if she has chops, but. Visually, you know, she can definitely she can carry an emotional connect with an audience, and it transcends on film.
Okay.
So Forrest Whitaker, his character, he witnesses all that, and the plantation's owner, the owner, his mom brings them into the house after. He witnesses dad's murder, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to bring you in. You're going to be a house nigger now. And, you know, kind of taking care of him, you know. But the word itself, you know, it's just everyday word. It's no different than saying dog or cat or, you know, boy or anything like that. That's the thing people, you know, it kind of reminded me, people miss, is it kind of reminded me of the Paula Deen case when Paula Deen admitted using the word before. And she should, and like I said, I applaud it. I said it on this podcast. You know, I'm glad that she said that, because most people have. If you haven't said it, you've thought it. You know, if you say N word, you've thought you. It's in your head. You might as well say.
I think that's for me. That's always been if you say that's that, bullshit. Then it sounds, you know, you're basically saying.
Say what's on your mind.
But I can't say that everybody has thought it or said it, because I didn't grow up like that.
Yeah,
but,
well, everybody I know have. Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, I have a mixed background. I don't know. We didn't really speak in categories.
Well, I grew up in a time. I grew up in the time terms. Of the butler, and you know, for me, and I, you know, I don't hold it. I've heard teachers and students say nigger, you know, in the classroom
with me,
you know. And a time where you couldn't do shit about it.
I mean, I've heard it only in the States more than anywhere else.
You couldn't do anything about it. And you're talking mid-70s, late-70s, 80s. Now you go back to 61. You go back to 58. Go back to 48, for Christ's sake. It wasn't that long ago.
No, that's my parents.
You know?
Were born.
My mom, she's watching it. She's told me stories about where my mom lives, where you go uptown and... There'd be a water fountain for whites, water fountain for coloreds. You go in the door. She would go to the drugstore, and she'd have to go around to the back to get into the store. So
it's crazy
to think that. And I'm watching the film. You know, is it takes you through. It's basically almost like a scrapbook where it takes you through each decade and each administration, each presidential administration of his life. And it takes you through all these different changes in the U.S. And understand this. It was a very small amount of time, the civil rights movement, you know, and leading up to where we're at right now. It's not a big gap of time.
No.
You know? It all, you know,
people are quick to forget that.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, it blows my mind, actually. It feels good in a lot of ways, but, you know, it's like I told my mother. I was like, you know, when we were coming up, there were no black quarterbacks. There were no black coaches. There's nothing, you know. And I've said it on this podcast when I would joke around and say, you know, if there was a black person on a TV show or a movie, I would celebrate.
Yeah.
And I usually joke and say we would celebrate because it's one for the team. But that's true to life shit. That's true stuff, because we had no connection. So if Good Times was on, if the facts of life, mm-hmm. what's the other one with Willis and Arnold? Help me here. Different Strokes. If Different Strokes was on, I mean, those were we not only watched those as with Americans from all backgrounds, but it was something special. You know, it was mm-hmm. very near, at least to me, it was very near and dear because I couldn't, as much as I wanted to identify and I wanted to be integrated, you know, you weren't, you know, mm-hmm. you were always an outsider. You were always an, and if you thought you weren't, believe me, you were reminded, you know, if
I
you got
to like one,
you,
so.
you were an outsider.
I still am one.
So back to the film, and I'm probably going to jump, you know, all over the place, you know, about this film and how it, the importance of it, but also how it parallels, you know, my life growing up. It's something to see the man, the butler, grow up in that time period and have to, you know, have to, he would have to deal with the struggles of everyday living. And I don't think, I don't think that, and I'm not going to say white people, I just don't think Americans understand what that is today. What that's, you know, what that is like. Hmm. And what I mean by Americans, I mean everyone. There are few children today that I've witnessed, and this is just, you know, my point of view, that I've witnessed that aren't really in touch with their past, you know the history. Not they may know the bases, you know, the basic stuff, but they may not know the grit, you know, the actual soul, the sweat, the blood, the tears. You know, when you got Lil Wayne talking about Emmett Till, you know what I mean? Do you understand the pain of what happened to Emmett Till?
Thing is, it's how are they being educated? I mean, I don't know what kind of...
Well, they take it for granted. And I'm not saying Lil Wayne takes it for granted. I'm not saying that the children of today take it for granted. But I have to question it.
Yeah, but if it's valued in education, then I think it'll be valued differently.
Who's doing the educating?
I don't know what kind of history lessons you're getting in schools.
They're
you
not.
Know what I mean,
they're not. Are they you kidding know. Me? It's all watered down version of it. I'd look at my son's homework and look at his assignments and I go over it. Now we're gonna do some more history. And it's not the way. It's not me.
I didn't appreciate history when I was younger. I appreciate it a lot more now.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's not me trying to control anything, but he should know what's up. You got to know.
Knowing younger, you don't understand the consequences of history. You don't understand that you're living the consequences of things. It's very hard to grasp as a child. It's when you start growing up that you're like, you see things a little bit from a different perspective and you see things a little bit bigger than yourself.
Yeah. And the consequences or the, you know, the blood, sweat and tears of the ones before you, meaning like your grandparents. Mm-hmm.
When you
your
hear
parents.
More and more interested in their stories, they open up, you ask them and they tell you. I mean, now it's only now that my parents are really opening up about their past and I'm still impressed at what they've survived, you know.
I mean, you couldn't imagine. Could you imagine living in a time where, let's say, if you go to Starbucks and you walk into Starbucks, and I got to walk around the back, you know what I mean? Could you imagine that, or having two water fountains,
mm-mm.
or
doesn't make sense
being
to me.
Beaten, or you just walk down the street and you see two people hanging from a tree?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, could you imagine that where it's acceptable, where it's you know.
No.
Could you imagine that? You're talking... some of that stuff still goes on now. Don't trip. I mean, Jesus. I'm not going to get too political, but I mean, what just happened down in Florida is a modern-day lynching.
It's happening
so,
in Egypt.
I mean, but what's going on... Yeah, you're right. But what's going on throughout the world, you know, today, reflects what went on in the world yesterday.
The way history repeats itself, too.
Yeah. And see, that's why it's important, I think, for people to see films like this, because
it takes time to
It also looks at how Americans conducted themselves, African Americans, and I want to say Americans, because we're Americans, and it's so easy for us to say, oh, African Americans or Asian Americans, or I mean,
I don't really know what those terms mean either. It doesn't make sense to me.
But when you see a hardworking family like in The Butler, you see, and it's a beautiful thing to see. You see a husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Okay, Forrest Whitaker. Man, he delivers.
I love him.
He delivers. I mean, his performance in here is so real. You'll shake. You'll cry. Like, you will. There are some scenes in there where you will tear up. Oh. And him and Oprah Winfrey, their chemistry.
Oh.
Like, you would. I'm looking at them. I'm thinking, that's my grandparents. And I'm looking at them, too. And I'm thinking so many different. I know these people. It's my grandparents. Oh, it's the neighbors around the corner. It's, you know, my uncles. Mm. And, you know, it's like
family.
All, yeah. And it you can feel it from the big screen. I mean, when you can feel that raw emotion, you've done a phenomenal job.
Agreed.
Yeah. The director, the writers, the actors, everyone, the crew, everyone. I mean, I sent Forrest Whitaker a tweet today, and I was like, you made us proud. Like, it's unbelievable the way he's able to submerge himself in that role, and it's not Forrest Whitaker. It's not Forrest Whitaker anymore. He plays, what's his character's name? Cecil Gaines. And that's who he is.
Cecil.
He, from the time that the plantation owner's mom brings him in and trains him. And me having a wine background, background in food and beverage, watching him be trained brought back a lot of memories, because you're just around a lot of servers and you know, the things that go on behind closed doors from the time they prep the food to coming out and how they should conduct themselves. But, I mean, could you imagine having to conduct under those circumstances?
No.
You know?
We think we have it rough now, but...
Nah, you have a bad day, you ain't seen nothing.
Right.
You haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago. That right there is what I'm trying to, you know, that's what I'm trying to stress, is that you're talking, I mean, 58, 61, 63, 68, you know, leading into the Vietnam War, you know. I mean, we saw stuff in the film that just brought back all sorts of memories, but a lot of good stuff too. Family, you know, you see a hardworking husband and wife going to work, providing a home for their children and an education, and that's one of the things we don't see in Hollywood. We don't see these movies in Hollywood. What do we see? I mean, we see good stuff like inspirational sports movies, inspirational musicians and stuff like that. But come the fuck on, man.
It's true.
You know, out of 100 movies, we get one Butler that showcases an intact family, an intact family that's out there dealing with the same stuff that people are dealing with today. A war going on, chaos in the streets. You know, people under siege because of their race and their religion. You know, poor people dealing with, you know, trying to get an education, trying to get food, you know. But at the same time, they're intact. They're with their neighbors. They're breaking bread. They're having a good time. They're dancing. They're singing. I mean, you know, it's the stuff that people should see. They shouldn't see us holding a gun sideways, robbing an armored car, or trying to get a come up. You know, yeah. Does that go on? Absolutely. You know, it goes on in any race, any culture. But, and for me, it was very refreshing to see this side. Yep. And not only that, to see it where it started as him as a child, the butler, and his 20-something plus years in the White House. Mm. And everything that happened in between.
Yeah, the progression and everything.
You know, how many times does Hollywood let that get by?
All the time.
No. What do you mean?
Like, you don't, like I'm saying.
There's not a lot of movies like that.
No, there's, that's what I'm, yeah, that they don't lay pass that kind of storyline by.
Yeah.
They just pass it by like it's nothing, you know? It's not an important story. They don't think it's going to make money.
That's it. But thankfully, and I haven't done my research on the film and what the struggle was to get it made, but I mean, they've got big names. You know, you got Oprah.
That's what it takes, though.
Yeah, you got Oprah Winfrey. You've got the director. You got Forrest Whitaker. He's already an Oscar winner. Lenny Kravitz. I mean, you have all these big names that come together. But see, this is what I want to see. This is what I would like to see from the hip-hop community to the R&B community. All the money that you're making for those Lamborghinis, all the money that you're making for the jewelry, all the money that Kanye West just dropped on a armored truck or something like that, all that money, which is, you know, if that's what you want to do, so be it. But if they just take some of that and put it into the media, it's almost like the cafeteria that's feeding all of us, the children, and all we're feeding them is the money, hose, and clothes.
Yeah.
Let's put some of that in, and you know, into some good stuff.
A little more positive.
Yeah. Some good stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for the black. It's not just for other black people, but it's for Latinos. It's for, you know, Asian people. It's for white people. It's for, you know, people abroad that come and see us that aren't, we're not misrepresented,
yeah.
You know?
Of course.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going crazy here?
No.
It's just, you know, and I'm watching the film, and yes, I'm happy. It's good to see that. And believe me, this isn't the only story. There's a thousand stories like The Butler that's out there, you know?
Yeah.
A thousand. Out there. Yeah. But I mean, let's get those stories made. You know, we don't always have to do, like, you know, we don't need, how many white chicks do we need from the Wayans brothers? And I'm not you know, coming down on them, as you know, it's just with podcastitis, you know, I can only think so fast, but I'm getting better.
Okay.
I love the Wayans family, and I love what they've done for comedy and for filmmaking, their contribution. But at the same time, when you pigeonhole yourself in for making one type of movie, then that's what's going to, Hollywood's going to green light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the same thing with Tyler Perry. He built his own studio with the money he's made, dressing up like a woman, acting crazy. But let's get done with that now. Let's move to something else. You don't want to be 20 years. You don't want to be 20 years making the same movie that you made when you started 20 years ago. Yeah. If you haven't progressed, then what's the point? And that's in life. If you're at a job and you're there for 1 year, 2 years, and you haven't progressed and done anything, then you got to make a change.
Yeah.
Especially if it's you know, affecting you in some way. You know, if it's not helping move you forward or propel you forward, and the people around you,
right,
something's got to give, and that's in life. That's with the people you hang out with. That's also with something like filmmaking or music or any art or anything that you do. Hmm. So, I mean, that's just how it is. But the back to the movie, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you, like, there's so many different scenes, and I'm not going to give up any spoilers on this, but it does. It goes from generation to generation. Yeah, there's some stuff, you know, I'm a big believer that you can't tell a man's life in 2 hours, you know, but they did a good job. Like I said, it's like almost like going through a scrapbook. and turning the pages. And with each page of that scrapbook, that, that each picture, you see, you know,
the, a little bit more of the
background, yeah, you
the
see
context,
the, you see the
40s, bit.
The 50s, the 60s. You see the clothes. You see the television shows, Soul Train. I mean, there's so much stuff that I'm watching in that movie, and it just reminds me of a time that's long gone, but yet not so far away. It really isn't.
Weird.
Wasn't that far away. You know, a lot of it hit home, you know. What's been going on in the news as of late? And you know, the so-called N-word, you know. And like I said, when I was coming up, I was tormented. I mean, while everyone else is, you know, running around and they're thinking, you know, thinking about playing and video games and riding their bikes. I mean, I'd be at school and the kids would just, they'd call me nigger every day. It sucked. Oh. And that the movie brought back a lot of those memories, you know, having someone stand over you. You know, I remember just sitting, and I think I've told this story on the podcast before, and a child was, he tormented me for over a year. And he would just be like sitting behind me, nigger, nigger, you know, every day. And it gets to the point where it just wears you down. People, you know, people can easily say, oh, I would hit him or I would have done this. But the word carries a lot of weight. And you don't know what to do or how to act, especially when somebody is just chopping away at your self-esteem and it's just wearing you down every day. And when you're like 12, you know,
that shit fucks you up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things I liked about this movie. They show that, but more importantly, they show the many faces of being black. And this is something that most people, you can't understand it unless you've lived it. You don't have to be black. You can be Latino. You can be Asian American. You could be from, you know, you could just be from France or something like that and come over here and probably deal with the same thing. But I can only relate from being black. And one of the things that they talked about throughout the film were the two faces you have to wear. You have to wear a face in front of the white man, which is non-threatening. And then you have a face when you're around black people. And you'd wear those faces and you'd have to conduct yourself in a manner just to survive, just to stay in this world. Because a lot of times, if you come outside of that and you expose or you talk back, it'll cost you your life. Or you might get thrown in jail for 30 years. You know? You don't know what could happen. Mm-hmm. And it's still the same thing goes today. I mean, they have to be a little bit more crafty. And what I mean by they, I don't always mean the white man, the white man, the white man. I mean, things have changed. For Christ's sake, we do have an African-American, a black president. But that doesn't mean that... I'm not even going to marginalize it or minimize it and say it doesn't mean anything. But it means a lot. It's huge. It's colossal. But at the same time, you still have to wear these faces. It's still something that I don't think you could understand unless you lived in that time or you come from a certain background. I don't even know if it's right or wrong, but it's almost an instinct, and it's fucking exhausting. It's exhausting, you know. I almost cringed when they said that in the movie. I was like, fuck, you're giving up the secret. Shut the fuck up. You know, what are you doing? But it's not a secret. It's just something. It's one
it's
more thing.
Natural.
It's one more it's thing you have to think about. Think about it. Think about being a child, you know. Think about just going through being a child or working or doing something where you have to conduct yourself. And you
it's
see
a lot
it.
To handle.
When you see it, when you see the film, you'll see how he does it. And you know, when he goes to work, he has to be a certain way. And then he comes home, he can relax for a little while. But one of the things I picked up fast was, there's more than two faces. Because I would be out, and if I'm around, let's say if I'm around white people, then yes, you have to conduct yourself a certain way. Because if you're threatening, you know, and especially when the job is involved, then yeah, you know, things might not work out in your favor.
I have lost jobs because of my temper. Yeah.
But if you're out with black people too, you got to wear a couple faces with black people. And, you know, they you know, I don't, one of the things you have to understand, and this goes on, I think, a lot with a lot of different communities, backgrounds. I know it goes with, you know, if you're a lighter skinned black person or dark skinned black person, you know, again, sometimes you have to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to wear different faces there. So, I mean, it's, you're not just free.
No.
To go out and eat pizza or go out and, you know, go to the arcade or go to the ball game or take selfies and, you know, go out. There's no downtime at being black. There's no downtime. You know, I don't even know what to say. Now, it's almost second nature. It's no different than you know, blinking an eye. But the shit gets exhausting. You know, and that's something I don't think people can ever understand. You can't, you know. And I'm not saying you.
No, you know, I understand it differently. I mean, I have my own.
And like I said, it doesn't just
struggles.
Yeah, and like I said, it doesn't it does not. It's not just for black people.
Right. No, I know.
Women for years.
Yeah, no,
have had to go through this, mm-hmm. where they've had
That's
to
kind
be,
of more of my perspective. Yes. Being a woman in an Arab culture, also being very pale, being mixed.
Allah Akbar.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now I'm gonna be in trouble.
But everyone has a story. Everyone has a struggle. And I respect their struggle. And I recognize that. And I've always tried to be thoughtful and be mindful of everyone. Because everyone does have a struggle. And they have a story. And that's important. And you know, I've always respected someone if they were from foreign soil. Or if they were from across the street. You know, makes no difference to me, but it's not always going to be the case when it comes to you. Not everyone's the same. And that's always been one of my weaknesses, is because I've always thought everyone thinks like me, you know, and everyone is accepting. But it's not. It's not a balanced society. And those are the pitfalls. And this is what that movie shows.
Mm.
And it shows his, you know, his ability to maneuver and to propel himself to the pinnacle of his career as a butler. But he's much more than a butler,
right.
And it shows that. And it and boy, do they shine! I mean, yeah, there are some areas in the film. You know, there's just not enough time. You know, they kind of skate over Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. You know, it's there, and it shows the Black Panther,
mm-hmm.
Party movement. But I had some issues with that part, just because so a lot of things people don't understand when they think Black Panther, people just think militant. And the whole point behind the Black Panther Party was to, and Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam, was to raise the self-esteem and the awareness of the culture of the community who were black, who for decades on decades on hundreds of years were cattle was treated better.
Yeah.
Okay. Cattle was treated better.
Yes. All right? Change a way of self-awareness, self-consciousness. So
the Black Panther Party was put in, and they were definitely more aggressive, but that was set up for that awareness and for self-protection, self-awareness, mm-hmm. because we were getting lynched. Babies were getting killed. Women were being raped at that time. I mean, this is the United States of America. Now, what happened to the Black Panther Party was they were infiltrated. A lot of people don't know this, by the CIA and J. Edgar Hoover, and drugs were put into flooded the community with drugs. Okay. And turned a lot of the leaders within the Black Party against one another. And you set up his life. They did the same thing with Malcolm. Malcolm, they bugged him. They wanted him. They were, I could talk for hours and hours about how they would plant lies within the Nation of Islam. So they turn against Malcolm. Mm-hmm. They turn against each other. You know, divide. It's a whole divide and conquer thing.
Exactly.
I mean, that's another podcast itself. And they were hell bent. The federal government was hell bent on making sure that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King did not unite. At that time, I mean, you know, so there's the time itself was chaotic. The time itself, you know, most people couldn't even imagine being in that time. Everyone died,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? That tried to make change. Okay. Everyone, Okay? Mm-hmm. Martin, mm-hmm. Malcolm, Robert Kennedy, mm-hmm. John F. Kennedy. You name it. Yeah. I mean, those four names alone. That's it. Okay? Everyone died. Everyone got clipped. Think about that.
I mean, before many times.
You're talking that stopped in 1968. And it didn't stop. They just found different ways to murder you. Okay? And what I mean by they, I understand this when I say they, I just mean just evil itself.
Right.
And if I can quote the great George Bush, the evil doers. Don't make that face. I just like the word evil doers.
Okay.
And evil doers come in any shape, size, or color. You know, yep. It makes no difference.
Yep.
It makes no difference. But you have to be aware. Evil does exist.
True.
You know, for many years, evil existed and they wore a white hood or they may have looked a certain way. For Christ's sake. I mean, some people, evil exists and they're black. They wear black hoodies. You know what I mean? It depends on, you know, what side of the fence, what's happened to you, what your story is,
right.
You know, but we have to educate each other and realize that all white people aren't bad. Okay. All black people aren't thugs and gangsters and pimps. You know, all white people aren't rapists. You know, all Middle Eastern people aren't terrorists,
right.
You know. All French people don't hate Americans. You know? It isn't. And it's easy. It's very easy for us to point the finger. It's human nature to point that finger and to make an enemy out of our brothers
and
sisters.
It's like we always need an enemy, somebody to be against, which I don't understand. And that just...
It is the downfall of the human race. Mm-hmm. But I believe in hope. And where there's good people out there and there's good families that make up the community and they have friends and neighbors, I believe that, you know, the best is ahead of us. I just believe that, you know, there's stuff that goes on. And right now when we see stuff and we know stuff and we're like, oh, we're living in the end of days. Well, I mean, we get our information faster now, you know,
yeah.
In the movie, it shows that like they lost contact to their son in certain scenes and they wouldn't hear from him for months or a year because there were no pagers. There were no cell phones. There's no email.
Right.
Now everything is right up close and personal, and we're getting information, you know.
Constantly.
If the president fucks up, we find out, you know. If something goes down in Egypt, if something goes down in Russia,
yeah.
You know, if anything goes down, that information is come. But the same way, you know, good information, bad information can be put into the system. So there's so much stuff going on. But I think that we have to be mindful and understand that and educate each other that the same thing that's happened in the past, it's happening now. The same profiling that's gone on in the time of the butler, it's still going on now.
Oh, yeah.
But who's the enemy? The enemy is whatever flavor of that week is going on.
Yep.
It could be someone from Russia. It could be someone from the Middle East. You know, it could be someone from India. It could be someone from China. You know?
Yeah.
We are at a point where we're just going to be, if we're not careful now, we're going to be at each other's throats. We can't even identify, you know? And what's that going to do? You know? When we make enemies out of our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters.
We do.
Our coworkers and... You know, when we make them the enemy and we're doubting and we're paranoid, then we're living in a world where people could look 20 or 30 years from now and be like, imagine?
The fuck was wrong with these people?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
How unhappy.
But I think we're better than that. And the butler definitely explores that and it shows the best that we can be. And my God,
that's inspirational.
Let me tell you. Every one of the actors in that film, I mean, my hat's off to them. It's just wonderful to see an ensemble come together like that and deliver something that's not filled up with explosions, not filled up. I mean, you know, not filled up with a bunch of just, you know,
right.
bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it identifies the this quote unquote N word when they say nigger. You feel it. And it's not exploited. It's not overused like maybe in Django or 42 or, you know, all these other films. It's not over the top. It's used. It's in the film. You understand it. And it shows, you know, it shows its power. It shows it, not only that, you feel it. You feel the power of the word. And there's a funny scene, I tell you this, and I'll say this. It doesn't spoil anything. It's a very comical scene in the film where Lyndon Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson, is he's mauling over the civil rights bill.
Okay.
And he decides to go on air, and anyone that knows, you know, just a basic history of Lyndon Johnson, he, you know, notorious foul mouth. You know, temper, the whole nine. And there's a scene in the film where Lyndon Johnson, I forget who plays him. He's a very popular actor who was in some movie, I forget. But there's a scene where he's delivering the address to the nation.
Yeah.
And he says, I can't remember how it starts out, but he says, "Negro." And all the butlers in the White House are watching. And he goes, "Negro, when did he start using the word Negro? That nigga uses the word more than me." It's so funny. It was a great scene. It was Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character. He goes, "That nigga uses the word nigger more than I use it." And it just, I was dying laughing. Great scene. Got to see it. Give it some justice.
I will.
But the comic relief
was like needed. That, necessary.
Like that, it was so calculated and put in all the right places.
Yeah.
And it just worked. I mean, there are some flaws in the film. It's not a I think I gave it 3.5 stars.
Okay.
But out of 4, but it's yeah, it's just you know, that. It just brings back a lot of memories for me. So it's kind of personal, as it I'm sure it will be. Even the people sitting next to me. I mean, we looked at each other, and we all but high-fived each other in many scenes.
Aww.
And, you know, it's, you know, a lot of the people in there, you know, would I'd see them, and we'd look over each other and smile and, you know, nod. And, you know, at the end of the film, everyone applauded. I mean, you would think it was, yeah, you would think... Then in the back there, Oprah Winfrey and cast, crew, director, Forrest Whitaker were seated back there because it was a thunderous applause.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's always fun.
That's awesome.
Is it Leave or Leave? Liv Schreiber. That's the actor that plays,
I don't know how
plays Lyndon Johnson. You know him.
I do know him.
Yeah.
Isaac.
He was in Scream.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Isaac Leave. Probably Leave.
He's in Salt. In Scream.
Salt.
Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. He's got a very particular-shaped face.
I mean, yeah, the whole shebang. There were some people, like John Cusack played Nixon, you know?
Hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, he had the voice down, but, I mean, he looked a lot better looking, I think, than Nixon was. And
I believe that.
Terrence Howard was in it. My man, Terrence Howard. You know Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
He was in Iron Man and got kicked out of Iron Man and was replaced.
Ouch.
Yeah. But Terrence Howard was also a pimp, you know, in Hustle and Flow. He was kind of a pimp in this movie, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he was, you know, kind of a player, though. Mm. So that's the difference between pimps and players. But he was a player, smooth. Smooth. There was a scene in there where... was it Oprah? I think Oprah or someone said, get your yellow ass out of here. I laughed very, very loudly because I was, growing up, I was called yellow. They would call you like yellow Creole, like Creole nigga, yellow nigga. That was just, in the community, that's how it was. They call me yellow. All sorts of stuff. Red. Yeah. Oh. Look at this. You red niggas. Look at you, yellow. Yellow. They would just, yeah, just natural. Yeah, it's, but you just, you would answer to it. This is from other black people.
Yeah.
You know? Which is fine. Like a lot of chicks would call you. They call you red bone. They call you,
there's wars going on in Africa because of this shit still today.
Yeah. Yeah. Because right. of tribes.
In Peru- yeah, in Burundi. Yeah, yeah.
It's like that in India, too. It's like India, you look, recently. Depending on where the slum you're from, and
yeah.
if you're too dark.
The different caste systems yeah. and stuff, yeah. it's out of control.
No, I was called Yella. Yeah. There was a crew of us in Flint, and we were all the same complexion, right? And yeah. Flint is very segregated. North side, south side.
Yeah, you've explained this yeah. to me a little
and,
bit.
And it was a crew of us mm-hmm. at the time. And from different backgrounds, majority African American, mm. Native American, Puerto Ricans, and
that when you dyed your hair black.
Yeah, and there was a time. It was a funny time. We were out somewhere, and some of the brothers from the north side and south side, got along for the main part. It, you know, black people. North side is a little bit more, or a lot more. I'm not going to go on record, but North Side's a tough side of Flint. Okay. That's all I'll say. It's tougher.
Okay.
South Side seemed to be a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more civil.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, don't test anyone's cool from the South Side representing Flint, Michigan. And there was a crew I used to hang out with in the North Side of Flint, and they come to the South Side and hang out, and we'd be chilling somewhere. I remember one day, it stuck with me all these years. And there were a couple of brothers, dark-skinned brothers, and they were like, they come up to us, and they was like, man, how all y'all red niggas get together and run things? They were like, how is that possible? You know, because each crew would, like, you'd just be kind of crewed up. But the fact that he pointed that out, that we were all a lighter complexion, and that's how they identified us, it's always kind of stuck in my head that, you know, it doesn't matter who you're around, you know. You're being looked at, you're being judged based on the color of your skin. First, the fact that he recognized we were running things, I guess that the content of our character, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, you know, you're talking a 16, 17 year old Malcolm Riddle.
Wow.
And yeah, well, he's running around. Very fair skinned with jet black hair. Yeah, we, a lot of us, I mean, we came from many backgrounds. A lot of us were Native American, though. Native American, African American.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Really cool crew. Good looking crew.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Really, really good looking crew.
Yeah.
A lot of Al B. Shores. Could you imagine a crew of Al B. Shores running around?
I would love that.
The fuck is that? A good buddy of mine, he used to run with us, and he kind of looked like Prince, and he had hair like Prince. So when Prince had the long,
wow.
flowing hair, so you're talking circa 1987, 88, right? And some of the other people, they'd be the haters. They weren't haters because we didn't know that word then.
Yeah.
But the haters, his name is Lynn Parks. He's a very dear friend of mine. I go to bat for him any day, anywhere. And he could call me right now and be like, you're needed. And you just got to go. You got to go. And I haven't talked to him in a long time, but I'd have to go. It's only a few people like that. You know, you just, all right, what do you need? But he, yeah, he was there, and he had long hair, and he had the trimmed mustache. But it was a light, really light brown, light sandy brown color. And his skin, he was a little darker than I am, but very soft, very smooth, brother. You know?
Yeah.
Almost Kravitz in style. Yeah. Right? But with long, flowing hair. You know the type of curls that you just want to put your hand in and just grab? Yeah, hair like that. And Lynn was a martial artist.
Okay.
They all were. They were ninjas.
Nice.
These brothers used to run around in ninja gear. Really? Okay. They did.
That's
they
awesome.
These guys wear ninjas and have nunchucks and like spears and weaponry. Yeah, they'd have weaponry, right? So we were crewed up, and these guys had tactics.
That's so cool.
Right? Tactics. I've seen them in action, roundhouse and do all these flips. I had no skills like that. Like, I had a mind. I could organize people, yeah. Get them together. You know, that was my contribution. Okay. You know? Yeah.
No ninja.
Couldn't
nunchucks.
Can't really curse well because I was very proper. So yeah, no, I'm not going to use any. No, what am I going to do with some throwing star? What is this? What year are we in? But they could do it, and the shit worked.
I'm sure it did.
Holy shit! Like he would use nunchucks, and I've never seen
my brother play
fast
with
as Bruce
shit.
Lee. So Lin was very very smooth, and he and Lin talk like this.
Damn.
Yeah. Lin had the voice.
I see.
He'd call me up late at nights. He worked at a pizzeria. I think it was Ron's Pizza in Flint, Michigan. I want to say it's Ron's Pizza. If anyone out there from Flint's listening, correct, it was Ron's Pizza. So Lin would get off work late at night, usually like midnight or something like that.
Yeah.
And at that time, like when I was like 15, or whatever, I lived with my grandparents. And Lin would come up to the house where we lived, and I had what do you call that when you have the stairs on the side of a house or something? It's kind of like a escape, you know,
like a fire escape.
Yeah, kind of like that, but it was more like a deck with a long staircase that led to my room.
That's cool.
On the side. So Lin would be like, he'd be knocking at like midnight, 1 a.m, and he'd have free pizza. And he would bring a pizza over, and we would sit up, and we would just, I don't know, I can't remember what we'd talk about. Just really weird because we'd be in bed eating pizza. And he would come over at night, man. And that was the greatest time. And then we would all pony up. It was another buddy of mine named, he had many names, Amato, a.k.a. Junior. He was Mexican. And who else was in that crew? A lot of them. Bill Simpson. Bill Simpson and Rod 1W. That was a.
Are they still there?
Rod's a gangster through in and throughout. They called him Evil Malcolm. I don't even think he knew they called him Evil Malcolm.
You've mentioned this person before.
Yeah, Roski. Roski, a.k.a. I shouldn't even give out these names because there's certain things we're not allowed to talk about. Like, I just can't talk about them, you know. But little stuff like this, I don't think anyone of mine. It's a comedy show, guys. it's a lot of years in between gaps, you know? Things have changed, no?
People forget quick, right?
No, not the streets. Streets never forget.
It's true.
Yeah, Rod was, Rod was, he had the temper of a bull.
Oh.
Yeah, temper of a bull. But he's settled down, married, happily married. Good. He don't live in Flint anymore. I think Rod lives in, actually, they all live in undisclosed locations.
I see.
That,
I see.
I'm not allowed to comment
okay.
on. But
sorry I asked.
But they're all doing well. Why was I talking about them? Oh, different colors and stuff like that.
Your crew.
Yeah, it was crazy, crazy. But I mean, we ran with a lot of different people from all backgrounds. That was one of the things I liked growing up. That somehow it took me a long time, but I for a brief moment in time I was able to. Find friends from all walks of life. And I've always, you know, throughout all my years, I've managed to, definitely managed to be able to just be one with the people, you know, to be, you know, whether I'm with someone, like I said, from the north side of Flint, the south side of Flint, someone who's Puerto Rican, someone who's Native American, someone who's Indian, it doesn't matter. I don't really like look at them like that. And I think the world has evolved to a certain degree to be a better place where we're not, you know, profiling to the extent where we have a water fountain for the black people, a water fountain for the white. I mean, how stupid is that? Huh?
I don't I don't understand. But no, I mean, we've come so far, I guess, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Let's be real.
I concur.
So
I concur. But all that aside, I think we're at a place that we can definitely improve and be better, and it starts with yourself. You know, yeah. I can't bitch and complain about someone in, what is it, Switzerland for not selling Oprah a purse. I got to look at myself and see, you know, how am I conducting myself? How am I representing myself to my family and friends and coworkers and
your community
and my son and you know, how am I looked at and how am I influencing them? I think that's what we have to do and we have to look at, and then and only then can we be declared leaders of the free world, you know, leaders of ourselves, because we can't lead ourselves. You know, how can we help others?
Very good point.
So,
very good point.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm. Okay with that.
Yeah. Other than that, what else do we got? I think we got a little new little segment. We're going to go through some.
No pressure.
Yeah. I think we're going to do a little news segment.
I mean, so I don't know how newsworthy this information is. We'll see.
What we're going to do now is go to the news with Maryam Tazi.
Are you going to introduce it? Well, all right. So we've discovered a new animal.
Ooh.
Yeah. You want to know what's
breaking news, huh?
Yeah. It's actually from around the corner, too. But this is the animal's not here. But the person who discovered the new animal is here in the National Zoo and all these things. But yeah, so this is a Olingito.
What's that?
So it's like it's kind of like a raccoon.
Where'd they discover it?
Well, they didn't know it was a different species. So they thought it was like a raccoon family, but they couldn't put their finger on it. Scientists and stuff. They found carcasses and all these things. But the scientist who looked at them was like, this is not just a raccoon.
Mm.
And he found out it was a different species and he proved it. And they still exist. They're in Colombia.
That's our lead story.
Ecuador.
We got a new raccoon, people.
Yeah.
Good night. Raccoons are like the criminals of the.
It's kind of cute.
A raccoon is like a damn ferret.
No, that's not a ferret.
Look at that thing.
That's pretty cute.
I don't know about that. I don't like it. I don't like its eyes. And raccoons. I don't like that word, coon. Raccoons are like the criminals of the. Every time I see them in a cartoon, they're always the criminal because they're wearing stripes and they have the mask on. You know what I mean? The black. Don't they have? Like, you know what I mean?
This one doesn't have that, but yeah, they're. Yeah, when you fall asleep with sunglasses on, they say you have raccoon eyes.
I don't fall asleep with sunglasses on. I don't like really glasses on my face.
I'm saying a general you, not you in particular. But people.
I don't think we need another species, people.
Well, it's kind of cool. We haven't come up with it. Well, there hasn't been a new species discovered in the last 35 years. That's pretty
impressive.
And
rightfully so.
I think it's kind of cool. Whatever.
Next story.
what else did I email myself? You want celebrity news?
Any news you got?
Your boy Robin Thicke.
What about him?
He's suing Marvin Gaye's family.
Mm.
But apparently they were suing him first because saying that song that they were saying his song that's really popular right now. What is it called? Blurred Lines.
I like that.
Yeah, you liked it early before it was really big.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying it's too close to Got to Give It Up.
I like the song. I really like the unedited version of the video.
You do.
Lot of titties,
yeah,
okay? Lot of boobage, lot of boobies,
so lot I thought of this was
tit,
newsworthy.
Lot of breasts. Everything I like is in that video.
All right.
And they're just walking around and dancing. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. I paused it.
Oh,
I watched.
God. Right.
I actually watched. It's funny you brought that video up because I actually watched that video the other day.
Of course you did.
Repeatedly.
Okay. And
very artistic.
I'm sure.
Very artistic. I think the movie it should be a movie. Just nothing but tits and Robin Thicke and
I don't like him.
And what's the other cat's name? He's from VA. There's a couple cats in there. You got T.I. in there in the video, and who's the other dude?
Pharrell.
Pharrell. He's from VA representing show respect. Mm-hmm. All right? Because they're all in suits. I'd be the first one naked dancing around with them. I mean, what's going on with that video? I should sue them. Ugh. Not that I want to see them naked. I want to see more of the women, but why are they in suits and the women are prancing around? I like the idea of topless women prancing around.
Go to France.
I like that.
Nudist beach.
And I like that video.
I know you do.
I do. I'm a fan, and I'm probably going to watch it later. Pause it.
Now that we mentioned it again.
Over and over. And doesn't remind me of Marvin Gaye's song.
Nah.
It reminds me of Prince for some reason. The melody, the kind of like a 80s version of a Prince song. But it's just kind of poppy and fun. And what's the deal?
It's
They're
catchy.
Suing. What's the grounds?
The grounds?
Yeah, what were they suing for?
They're just saying that it's too close. That it's basically the same song. Same
of what song?
Got to Give It Up. Blurred Lines and Got to Give It Up.
Give It Up, man. Give It Up, we'll play 30 or 50 years from now. Blurred Lines, we won't play 50 years from now. I mean, I'll still be looking at titties 50 years from now.
So, yeah, so Marvin Gaye's family's suing him first, and he's suing back to say that it's not like that song. So
yeah, they're just in a war of...
Yes.
They'll throw it out. No judge is going to put up with this bullshit.
It's a lot of bullshit.
And waste the taxpayers... Waste of taxpayers' money. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Let's get together. People, Robin Thicke, get back on the job and get some more women prancing around because I need another video to pause over and over again. So thank you very much. It's just my opinion, people.
Good. Okay. There's not really that much going
really?
On that's, like, interesting. Yeah, this is... The other thing that I was going to mention.
You have to work on your anchor skills.
I know.
If the news people talk.
I was working all day, man.
If Rachel Maddow or any of the news anchors out there,
ooh,
Dan Rather,
the CIA,
there's not much going on right now.
The CIA finally admitted that Area 51 exists.
Holy
period.
Mackerel.
But that's it. No aliens, just
yeah,
that the area
say.
Exists.
Of course it.
Nice.
We know it exists.
I know,
isn't
but that
like
was
a,
big news. I was like, really?
Like
thanks, guys. I've been there. I've seen it. But, yeah.
Isn't
so
there
the
like
CIA
a sign?
Well, that's what made it more official now.
No, but isn't the fence, every time I see it in the movies, there's a fence.
Not exactly like
and on
that.
The fence it says area. Or if you see an aerial... It's 50. Well, there's Area 50 and there's Area 49.
That's the thing.
Maybe
it's
they don't have 51
assumed.
Labeled, but they got 52
now
next
they
to
do,
it.
I think.
So people figured out what in the world is going on. Why don't they have a sign? Here goes Malcolm with his bad Jerry Seinfeld again.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Area 51 does exist. With no shit, Sherlock's.
Yep.
I believe there's aliens too. I haven't done an alien podcast yet, but
ooh.
I do believe. I mean, you know, I wonder
you
sometimes, like, who's
now?
Helped us with this technology.
I was watching a little bit of Ancient Aliens earlier today.
You know?
Made me think about that.
A lot of unexplained shit.
No,
but
shit.
There's also talk about us living in a simulation of something that's man-built. This is like the technology is so advanced that what we're experiencing right now is not our life.
Oh, it's a virtual life. I heard that on Cassius's.
Yeah. Cassius brought it up, but Joe Rogan also was the one that he explores this in great depth.
I think it's this
and
question.
It's an amazing listen, let
that's,
me tell you.
That's trippy. Can you imagine that this is all fake? This is all virtual? We're living in an experiment?
No.
We are.
No, I mean, we could be playing our same person, though. We could be like, you know, working the joystick, and it's like, all right, this is me, and this is my move, and I'm just like a figurine. But there's some other dude that looks like me on the other side. Unless it's just someone mastermind's creation, and we're just like a pawn in his game, his simulator. That would suck dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to break free like Neo.
I just don't know, man.
I don't care. Fuck it.
I don't know.
Speaking of Cassius, I've got and Joe Rogan, Death Squad representing, comics at large. Joey Diaz is coming to the Improv in DC next week. I think the 23rd, 24th, 25th. Yeah, I've got tickets to see Joey Diaz next week. And Joey Diaz sent me an email.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I sent him an email saying I'd like to get him on and do an interview with him. Okay. You know, audio interview
for
broadcast. And I didn't think I'd hear anything.
See, that's bigger news.
And Joey Diaz replied back. And was like, he just asked a few questions. Would it be over the phone or you want to wait till I get to D.C.? And I was like, wait till we get to D.C. And I just followed back up saying, you know, try to make time, da-da-da-da-da. I'm just waiting to hear back from him. So hopefully that can happen. That will happen. That would be nice. That would be a...
That's awesome.
That would be awesome. Joey Diaz from the Church of What's Happening Now. You know, cool. I mean, he's a great comic. If you go to iTunes and you can download his podcast. He's also got a movie coming up.
Yeah.
Starring alongside, I think, starring alongside Robert De Niro and I think Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
Yeah. And Joey Diaz, you know, he's been in a lot of different movies and TV shows, but mainly I know him from stand-up comedy. He's hard hitting. He's actually one of the influences of this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a few. I've mentioned Joey Diaz, Joe Rogan, and Adam Carolla. And also, Bill Burr is coming to town.
Wow, everyone's coming.
I think Bill Burr's coming in November. I was going to try to get tickets. Tickets are for sale set Constitution Hall in November. His tickets are pricey.
Really?
His tickets are like upwards and onwards from like $90 on up.
Wow.
Yeah. There's some tickets. I'd like to see Bill Burr. Because Bill Burr does the comedy show or the Monday morning podcast where it's one man.
Just him.
And he riffs for an hour.
Yeah, I heard.
I mean, he just goes and goes. And it's a talent. There's a few guys out there that's doing
it. It's hard to do, man.
I'm going to try one and see how it goes. I don't know if I can go for the full hour or not, but I'd like to see if I could pull that off. But that could be a little challenging. So my hat's off to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bill Burr in November and Joey Diaz next week. That should be a funny show. I saw him in Baltimore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I saw him in Baltimore. I drove like 2.5 hours. See Joey Diaz.
You met him.
I met him. I got a picture.
Yeah.
Picture of me and Coco Diaz. I like Coco. I like Joey Diaz a lot just because him and I, there are parallels. Like his childhood and my childhood and him growing up. He grew up in Jersey, New York. But his kind of his urban experiences are kind of parallel. He actually tells all the stories. He tells... I mean, yeah, he really gets into it. I have yet to even explore that, nor should I, but I don't know. We'll see. But Joey goes into it, and one of the things I like about his podcast is that he talks shit. He talks a lot of shit, but it's comedy. He's saying it in a jokingly way, but he's also, everything that he says is followed up by motivating you, saying, you know, he'll share his experience and then he'll say, yeah, he went through this shit. He went to prison for kidnapping. He's done this, but tomorrow's a new day. And he always says, pull yourself up. You know, like his producers had problems with his job and quit or lost a job and just everyday shit that everyone goes through.
Yeah.
But they talk about it. And Joey always tells you that tomorrow's a new day to start fresh. You know?
It's true.
And the way he tells, his storytelling is so captivating and so pure that it registers. And, it, you know, he just has a way in making you believe.
Yeah.
He makes you believe in the day and you want to seize the day. And then you look at your situation like, you know, I'm not the only one going through this.
There's worse.
It's not so much as, yeah, of course, it's always worse, but you're not alone in this fight.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, you're not alone. You can do better and better days are going to come if you apply yourself and you commit yourself. And just like today, you know, I didn't, it was, you know, I could have easily, I told you before we started the podcast, I, you know, I was going to blow it off and,
oh, yeah.
But I'm committed, you know, I'm committed to the audience, no matter how big or how small, I'm committed to the podcast. I had a friend of mine call me up the other day and they're like, you know, what are you doing the podcast for? Are you getting paid? Are you, you know, maybe you shouldn't be my friend. You know what I mean? maybe you shouldn't.
Cold.
No, but the point is, everything you do, of course you have to take care of yourself, excuse me, and provide for yourself. But at the same time, you got to go with your gut. And I've said this 1,000 times on this podcast. You got to go with your gut and your heart.
Yeah.
Go with your heart and see, you know, do what drives you. And the podcast does that. And I'm committed. Like I said, I'm committed to the audience and I'm committed to this product and shaping and molding it and trying to come up with the right format and try stuff like the news and seeing if that will take.
Failed.
Yeah,
miserably.
But I mean, it'll take. it'll take. You know, this is like I said before. This is batting practice. You know.
Yes.
You
none
don't
of us
know.
Are professionals.
You know, it may or may not. The point I'm trying to make is you just have to keep trying. And sometimes
right.
with the podcast, yeah, I'd like to get paid. I like to have sponsors. I like to, you know, have a cool studio like Adam Carolla's and stuff like that. But I mean, Rome.
Yeah.
Rome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to keep plugging away. You know, it's that my commitment and Coco, Joey Diaz talks this. And it makes me look at myself when Joey Diaz says this. You know, you got to commit. You got to commit to something. And it starts with yourself. You got to commit to yourself.
Very true.
And that's my commitment to the podcast. You know, I'm going to release one. And you're going to get one every Monday. And if I'm able to do another one, I can release one on Thursday. But at least I can be consistent about it on Mondays and get up and talk and vent a little or talk about a movie or, you know, talk about me trying to improve myself. And, you know, maybe someone will improve, you know, their situation. I don't know, you know, but you've got to be committed. So I don't know if the podcast is going to make me money anytime soon. That's not my goal. My goal is to improve the product and to be able to deliver. I remember when I started, I couldn't even get it uploaded. I was trying to get the sound right and it's frustrating. And someone just recently asked me, they were like, oh, could you help me get my podcast? I was like, man, I can't even tell you how I get it up. It's just kind of doing its thing now, and I'm not as frustrated as I was, but I'm still trying to figure it all out. I can point you in the right direction, but I'm no engineer. Yeah. You know, I got a couple mics and a couple things, but, you know, it's not like I've got some big budget operation, and, you know, I just do what feels right. And same thing with any other ventures. If I have people come in, I was talking about, along with the podcast with someone, I was talking about the couple friends of mine in the wine business. Oh, did you get paid from this or that? It's like, no, I actually didn't. Not like in monetary, but mentally. And you get paid in different ways. And it leads to, you know, money usually leads to the fruits of your labor, you know, what your commitment, what you believe in, how much you believe in it. And then when it starts to believe in you and you start to see stuff like that, sometimes you kind of, you know, time isn't on your side, but, you know, you just keep plugging away. And that's what we're doing here.
It's good.
We're plugging away, people. So with that, I'm going to leave you on that number. And thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Good night.
Good night. Good luck. Domino, motherfucker.
I was never really into music till I was about 9 years old. But now I can't control myself from grooving. It is time for me to show. Cause today, I'll show ya. I'll blow ya. Always on the run, I tell ya. It was not an easy road. But now I'm ready to bring joy and fire. The best things in life for sure. Cause I do know what it's like to feel sad all the time.
yesterday.